Live from Where We Do Podcasts, it's the best in remakes, reboots, and revivals. And now, your hosts, Nicole and Rolando.
Yes, welcome to our third year in a row of remakes, reboots, and revivals, calling off the best and worst of remakes, reboots, and revivals of 2021. Of course, Rolando, Eddie, how are you guys? Are you excited for this episode?
Yes.
No.
You guys said that at the same time, at least.
Yeah, that's good. I'm not, because I think like this year has been kind of a downer for this shit, so.
Well, you know, that was last year, and we had way less to cover last year, you know? Like, We only did about 7 movies, 8 TV shows, and this year we've definitely have more to cover, but I think the last couple weeks just have just got you down, Rolando.
No, it's maybe just a year. It's the pandemic. I think the pandemic has fucked up media to a point where it's just like, what's good even?
Oh, geez. Wow. So pessimistic. I know Eddie's not feeling that way. Tell me about your excitement, Eddie.
Well, I know that we didn't have that many things that we really enjoyed this year.
See?
Mm-hmm. I know, but there were some little gems here and there that just kind of stand out more because it was like, oh, wow, this is refreshing because everything's been so crappy.
I will say picking my worst was really hard. Picking my bests were easy. Picking my worst were hard.
Well, the best were so few to choose from.
Yeah, it's like you kind of knew, even though I don't know if our best ofs will be the same. But
that's true.
My worsts were just, yeah, it was like, my gosh, which one do I pick and for what reason?
I know.
But, you know, surprisingly, that was more so in one field more than the other. And we'll get to that soon. So as always, you know, the categories are going to be best film, worst film, where we each pick our own, best TV series, worst TV series, performances, and then the audience pick, right? We always do a poll, usually on our Instagram, where you guys chime in and give your best pick of a remake, reboot, or revival of any movie or TV show. And this one was really, really close. We're going to have to figure out how we pick the winners, because there were a lot of multiple chosen.
Oh, so. Okay. What about, and I thought we also do most needed remake, reboot, or revival, which isn't necessarily the best one, right? It is the one that, like, did something that, okay, yeah, we definitely need it. And it doesn't have to qualify as the best.
Mm-hmm. So, as always, as we've done for the last 2 years, is it's everything we cover within the year of 2021. And, you know, since we go back and forth between movies a lot, we have 15 television shows and 17 movies. And yes. So the nominations for television shows in every category are The Winx Club,
Superman and Lois specifically,
Punky Brewster,
The Mighty Ducks, Game Changers.
Yeah. Thank you. The Friends Reunion Special.
We put a question mark on that one because we're not sure how that qualifies, but, yeah, but it's still there.
It's there.
The Rugrats,
iCarly,
Monsters at Work,
Gossip Girl,
Masters of the Universe Revelations,
Scenes from a Marriage,
Chucky,
The Wonder Years,
Cowboy Bebop,
and Dexter New Blood.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so let's kick it off with television series. Should we do best or worst first?
I was going to say let's start off with the best and then end with the worst because there's so much more to choose from. But fine, yeah, let's go with...
let's just get worst out of it.
Let's go worst.
Okay, so my pick for worst TV remake, reboot, or revival of 2021 is... The Winx Club.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, you know, that was early on in the year. That was something that I saw Netflix push, and I was like, oh, this seems cool and fantasy-like and Harry Potter-ish, maybe. I don't know. And I didn't really know anything about it. And, you know, after we saw it, yeah. Just, I've never had a more unlikable main character, someone that I just wasn't rooting for, just didn't give a shit about. And then, like, everything else just was so tropey in a not a great way. It wasn't like I was excited to see these tropes again. It was just, It was just not very good. And it felt kind of rushed and just not really well thought out. It almost was insulting. You know, so that's why I picked Winx Club. Yeah.
It's so funny. We covered also Selena, But like Selena technically came out last year in 2020,
that was
right?
bad too, yeah.
So, and that was pretty awful because I feel like that was going to be the winner until I saw the nominees and I was just like, ugh, Selena doesn't qualify. What a shame.
So that's Selena, a runner-up, yeah.
Runner-up for sure. I actually think my least favorite might be Monsters at Work.
Oh, okay. So why do you think that this qualifies for the worst?
It's just like in retrospect, it's just like I didn't follow like all these other shows. I either watched it or continued watching. And I think Monsters at Work just felt so banal and it just felt like so uninspired. And I think when I found out that Pixar didn't even make the show, it was just like kind of another studio picked up the slack. It just kind of seems like, all right, it shows.
Wow.
Like Disney Plus put no effort into the show and, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's just not good.
Yeah, and it kind of felt like it had, like it was trying to do The Office in a weird way. You know, they had Mindy Kaling and it was all set in the office environment. And it just, I don't know, I have high standards for Pixar and it definitely didn't deliver.
Well, luckily it wasn't a Pixar production, you know?
Yeah, but still, it's the their monsters. Property. Yeah, it's their property, yeah. So.
But, yeah.
Yeah, do you have a pick, Eddie, that you want to share?
For worse?
Yes.
At least the one that was a painful experience to watch was Gossip Girl.
Yeah, that was God. That was my other choice, by the way.
That was the more painful to watch. I just, there were so many things that didn't make sense to me on that. It's definitely a show that I didn't even watch it because it's not a show that attracts me.
Me too.
But that was painful. I just found the one even not like, you know, I mean, and I love Riverdale. And this was not just giving me anything. So
yeah, unsympathetic, shallow, just bad. Yeah,
yeah. I cannot. Yeah, nope. I cannot connect. I
disagree with both of y'all. That actually was my runner-up for my favorite remake, reboot, or revival TV show edition.
So then let's talk about let's go more positive, right? Let's get the negative out of the way. We'll talk about positives. My choice for the best TV show, remake, reboot, or revival of 2021 is Scenes from a Marriage. And I would even say that that's one of my favorite episodes we did of the year. You know, I think it just brought out some really interesting discussions. And I think even though that there was something that was part of the production of Scenes of a Marriage, the new one, that was quite arbitrary, the actual story was pretty good. The acting was pretty great.
Right.
And yeah, I just think that it was overall really engaging and pretty well done and really different from at least what we usually cover, you know. Mm-hmm. So for its uniqueness in terms of our repertoire, I had to pick this one. It kind of stands out, you know. So
I mean I like Scenes from a Marriage. I don't know if it was one of my favorite episodes that we recorded, maybe because we got in a fight about marriage in general.
Well, I mean, I don't think it was a fight, but it's nice to know you think it was a fight. I think it was a really engaging episode. If I look down the list, you know, I remember that episode more than I remember, say, Masters of the Universe or iCarly or Rugrats.
Right. There is a show that I would put as my winner, but I'm saving it for a different category.
Oh, okay.
So the show, therefore, that I'm going to end up picking by default would be Chucky. Because I think Chucky was just an enjoyable show. I think putting a queer character front and center outside of Chucky was kind of an interesting choice. And, you know, this is just a show that kind of won me over based off. It was campy. It's like a camp. It's a show that isn't taking itself too seriously, but it's just a fun watch.
You know, it's so interesting because I really thought that was going to be your most needed pick. And so for you to not pick that for your most needed, I am really intrigued and I'm.
Okay, yeah. Stay my tuned. Most needed is definitely a TV show, but it's not Chucky.
The suspense.
Yeah.
Okay, this is really interesting because I can't, looking at that list, I really wonder what you're choosing. I mean, I guess I guess I would know actually now that I look at it. But Eddie, what would you say is the best property of 2021 TV-wise?
What did you like?
I am pleasantly surprised to say that Dexter has become like my show now.
Mm-hmm.
I continue to watch it, enjoy it. I like the, I don't know, I like the approach. I like the, you know, step of sunny Miami. We got cold upstate New York, you know. And I'm liking more the whole father and son twisted relationship that's going on.
The dynamic between the two. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Wow. And that's probably your biggest surprise too, you know, where it's like, oh shit, no, I'm a Dexter fan. Hey, that's really successful. So nice.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. That's a
TV picks.
The TV picks. And now let's go on over to movies, because this was, you know, a big year. Movies kind of came back this year. And
or tried to.
In some ways, it definitely failed. And the nominations in all categories that concern movies are Blithe Spirit,
Tom and Jerry,
Coming to America,
Godzilla versus King Kong,
Mortal Kombat,
Justice League, the Zack Snyder cut,
Cruella,
Space Jam 2, A New Legacy,
Cinderella,
He's All That,
The Many Saints of Newark,
Under Wraps,
Dune,
Home Sweet Home Alone,
Ghostbusters Afterlife,
West Side Story,
Nightmare Alley,
and last but not least, Matrix Resurrections. Even though we didn't cover it in 2021, it will be a new episode this week.
Worst film of 2021. This was so hard.
This one was hard.
There were a lot that were really terrible. I would say three in particular I had to really, really kind of do an eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
Oh, okay. Tell me more.
I don't know. This is hard, man. I actually, you know what, Rolando, for this, you go first, because if we pick the same one, I'll pick a different one, because I could rant on any of them equally.
All right. Well, I mean, I will narrow it down to about three movies that I thought were the absolute worst also.
Uh-huh.
Let's see if we have any correlation here.
Okay.
Blithe Spirit.
Yes.
Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
Many Saints of Newark.
I think the real bad ones are those first two, is Blithe Spirit and Tom and Jerry.
For me, I'm going to go with Many Saints of Newark. I hated this fucking movie. I think it was an absolute abortion of a film. And I detest it just made me hate the Sopranos show. Ooh. I think leaving it. Like, I was just like, I think the movie just sucks so much. And I hate every critic that said this was like a good movie, because just like, it wasn't. It just was not a good movie. Mm-hmm. Also, fuck nepotism. And this kid playing Tony Soprano Jr. Or I guess he was playing Tony Soprano, but, you know, James Gandolfini Jr.
Yeah, I will say that Many Saints of Newark takes the award for worst ending ever out of all of these properties. I was with the film until that ending, and then I was like, fuck you. Are you kidding me? What a terrible ending.
No, this movie, talk about, I mean, you know what my beef, the biggest, and I talk about this on the podcast, we haven't listened to that episode. That might be one of my favorite episodes, because I just went off. But I think the problem, and it's a problem that you have with prequels, right? Like, the problem with prequels is when you cast people to play younger versions of iconic characters, all they're just doing is a bad imitation of said character. With the exception of Mira Farmiga, she kind of took that character and made it her own, which is why she was like the only ray of sunshine in that movie. Everybody, Corey Stoll playing like Junior was a nightmare to watch. It's just like, what is this? It looked, you know, I think I said on the show, I'll say it again, it looked like a fan-made film.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. Yeah, I can't completely get down with all of that, but I can see it. And it was just not good. Like, and I'm just going to harp on once more about that ending. That ending was so bad that I said, don't watch the movie, to most people. Cause I was like, it's just, you're going to walk out of that theater or, you know, get up from your couch with anger. Like I did.
That's the only good thing it had on going for it. I didn't have to pay for it. I have HBO Max. I got to watch it for free. But other than that,
had I was still paid complaining. For it, I might have had it as my worst of 2020. I am going to go with Tom and Jerry, simply because I usually am more forgiving when a movie that is made for children is not very good, because at the end of the day, this is supposed to be entertaining. It's supposed to be family fun and all of that. And I think Tom and Jerry was so bad that I do not encourage you to let your children watch it. Right. I think it is even insulting in terms of your children's intellect. I don't think they can get anything from it. And I just think that it's almost like Hollywood's now filled with just incompetent assholes who, you know, don't think fondly of American audiences. And it's just like, fuck you. Don't give me this. Like, actually put some fucking thought behind what you put out there when you have at mm-hmm. least a big budget and a property like Tom and Jerry that you got to owe some respect to. It was just absolutely terrible and insulting, truly.
Yeah, Tom and Jerry easily falls, if we hit this category, like the most unnecessary remake or revival or reboot, because it was just like, who asked for this?
Yeah, and let's make up one. Most disrespected property. Like, they just disrespected the legacy of Tom and Jerry with this. They gave two shits and just shouted over it.
I could put, there's a couple others that I would put easily in that category.
As disrespectful?
As disrespectful to the source material.
Oh, name some.
I would put Home Sweet Home Alone. Again,
there were some redeeming qualities there.
I'm just saying, but in terms of disrespect, it was kind of a little bit of a slap in the face to the original one.
Yeah,
I thought.
You know, I would even say
Monsters at Work.
I actually would say maybe Many Saints of Newark is borderline disrespectful to the Sopranos
legacy. I would agree. Agree on that one. Yeah.
Blight Spirit is also just like, no, that was absolutely a most unnecessary. You know, comparatively to the two films, I pushed for that film because I was like, oh, we get to watch, you know, British comedy. And. And, you know, the original I thought was pretty delightful. And right. They just managed to overcomplicate it. Yes, I thought that. And I stand by that. They overcomplicated it and they completely ruined it and added in all this. I hate these fucking movies that try and add in this 2021 enlightenment into these stories that take place in like the 30s and the 40s. Like, fucking stop it. They did that with Being the Ricardos, which is on my non-podcast related worst of 2021 films. I absolutely.
So it's not good. Is it?
It's not good. I do not recommend it. So, Eddie, what's your what is your worst of 2021?
Yes, pick? Eddie. What is your least favorite film? The worst of 2021.
I originally thought of He's All That.
Why? That movie was so cute. It wasn't good, but it was like, it was fine.
I'm going through the list again. I'm just double checking.
Yeah, at least He's All That knew what it was, and it didn't like try and be anything, you know, else. I'll give it that.
But Blight, I agree with you with Blight Spirit. That was such a difficult watch.
Yeah.
That was such painful. A difficult watch.
That was like, that was early in the year too. I was so mad. I was just like, oh God, what is 2021?
It's like, we were like,
Yeah.
You know,
and
it's
didn't
so
we have
funny
to pay for that? Like a lot of money.
We did.
Sorry. I apologize. What were you gonna say, Eddie?
Yeah, because I mean there were some movies that I didn't get to see with you guys. But that one that stands out the most, and Blight Spirit.
Yeah, they were
interesting. I thought Space Jam was going to show up on the list for somebody.
It almost did, but these films were exceptionally worse than it.
South Park, the two new films on Paramount Plus, like they're constantly ripping on Space Jam 2.
Oh, are they?
As like part of like the bad thing about the pandemic, right? Like the pandemic happened, and so did Space Jam 2.
Yeah, it was really bad. So let's shift gears and let's talk about our best picks of movies, remakes, reboots, revivals. Rolando, what is your best of?
All right, I'm gonna give an honorable mention first before I pick my favorite.
Absolutely.
And my honorable mention is gonna go to Cruella.
That's my honorable mention too.
Oh yeah, I think Cruella was such a delight. This is a movie that really, really. I had not even low expectations. I was ready. I was just like, who the fuck asked for a Cruella girl boss, girl power movie? And then when they give it to me, I'm just like, ooh, this movie is pretty good. I actually enjoy it. Emma Stone won me over with her performance. The fashion was actually pretty fucking cool at times. This was just a well-packaged film. And I think it also felt fresh, which is something that 2021 was just severely lacking.
Absolutely.
So as a result, it gets my honorable mention. It is not, unfortunately, what I would consider the best remake, reboot, or revival. That one is going to go to West Side Story. West Side Story is easily my favorite. It might be my favorite film so far, 2021 period. It is definitely my favorite, the best film of the category of the films that we had to cover for this podcast. I think it's just what a breath of fresh air. It was just so well done. I think Rita Moreno really shined in a role that I thought easily would have been considered pandering. Mm-hmm. The Ariana DeBose, I hope she gets that Oscar nomination that's been whispered, because she was just phenomenal as Anita. I actually am constantly listening to A Boy Like That with her and the girl Rachel Zegler, who played
Maria. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, these two, like, this scene alone should solidify both of them getting an Oscar nom, because they were both pretty, pretty fucking good. This movie, it won me over. I am still trying to take my mom to go see it. Maybe today will be the night, because she is off from work, and let's see. So
that'd be fun.
I can't wait to see it again. I think this movie was dynamite. I have been trying to push everyone to go see it, and you know, some people, I'm so shocked to find out when people ask me, it's just like, oh, West Side Story, what is that? It's just like, what? Like, how do you not know what West Side Story is?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've heard of it. I've never seen it. It's just like, who? Get out of my face. Like, West Side Story is a fucking American classic.
Yeah. You know, part of the reason why I didn't pick West Side Story, because I knew you were going to pick it, and I just wanted, right, you know, some difference on there. But it was practically my first pick. But my honorable mention is also Cruella. The costume design, the soundtrack, the editing. It was a film that, after I saw it at home, I was mad I didn't see it in the theater.
Mm.
Because I would have loved to have seen that in the theater.
Did it come out in theaters?
I mean, it might have, but theaters weren't like something that everyone was doing.
Going to yet.
Like, quite yet.
Yeah, because I remember I saw the one at Disney. I had to pay it. We split it. But yeah, we had to pay that full price ticket on Disney Plus.
Yeah, and it was like, I might as well have fucking gone to the theater.
That's a movie that, even though I paid that full price to see it at home, I was still like, oh, this was still a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't hurt.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was pleasant. And at that point, we had just been watching crap after crap, so mm-hmm. it was a breath of fresh air, too, for us.
Yeah. But the fact that it still has, like, longevity, right, where I think that's a movie where my mom has been watching it a lot, because she uses my Disney Plus account. She loves it, but sometimes I'll bump into her and, like, sit and watch a scene. She's watching it usually on her phone or something, but I'll keep watching it with her because it's a good movie. It's, like, an enjoyable film.
It is, yeah. It is. My pick for best film of 2021 is going to go to Nightmare Alley. I thought as a film and as a story with a message, it kind of beats everything else on that list.
Really?
Yeah, okay. Personally. Again, like, I'm a real big fan of that story. I'm a really big fan of the message, as we just heard in last week's episode. I thought everything about it was good. I thought the pacing was, for a 2.5-hour movie, was great. I never got mm-hmm. bored. You know, the story right. just kept along. And good performances. I actually think that I enjoyed the original film as much as it. And I don't think mm-hmm. it was necessarily an improvement on the original film. But, you know, I also wanted to pick it because people might not have known about this movie or chose not to see it. And I want to encourage you. Go see it. It's actually quite good. It's better than most of the other options currently in the theater. And you've already seen Spider-Man, so go see it.
Oh, yeah. You probably have already seen Spider-Man.
Eddie, what is yours? I think I know Eddie's, but
so my honorary mention is West Side Story.
What?
Yeah,
that's your honorable mention.
That's my honorable mention.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was really excited about that. I was totally surprised. So, I advocate go see that movie. But the one that I was really happy with is Dune.
Yeah, I knew
for this year. I was really happy with Dune. It hit all the sci-fi notes for me, and I found it, how do you say, one of the better adaptations that I was able to process it a little bit better
mm-hmm.
too, because mm-hmm. I've seen the variety of different ones on the Sci-Fi Channel and one of the first one, so this was actually I enjoyed this one. It was visually beautiful.
Yeah,
too, just like the cinematic.
This was definitely one of the better ones, and was a film that we all watched that was like, that was good. That was good.
I would agree.
Although I will say that Hans Zimmer got nominated, I think, for the Golden Globes for best music. It's like, what? There was no music. It was just noise. Like, what is he talking? Why are they nominating Hans Zimmer for Dune for best soundtrack? Like, what the fuck? But
wasn't it like the soundtrack from Gladiator a little bit?
No. So let's now move on over to performances. Best performance by an actress, and we're encompassing all of them, all movies, all television, what we think is the standout breakout mm-hmm. performance Do you have yours, Rolando?
Of course. That one easily goes. I'm giving it to Ariana
DeBose.
Yeah,
that's a voice, and that is mine as Anita, well, because yeah, she was
she
fantastic.
Stole the fucking show. She mm-hmm. killed it as Anita. I mean, yep. what a... That, and mind you, that is a hard role to fill in the shoes for Rita yep. Moreno.
Yeah.
Right? And she fucking... She handled this spectacularly. So, yeah. She gets my win on that one.
Mine too, about, yeah.
Yeah.
She was great. And, mm-hmm. I mean, I can't even really say much more other than go see it. And you'll see why we both picked her, because she's that good.
Yeah, she was wonderful. Do you have a least favorite performance? Do we have a least favorite performance?
Let's not do least. I mean, unless there's one that you really want to talk about.
The only one that comes to mind that might be my least favorite performance actually might be Tony Soprano. James Gandolfini's son. Because that was both bad writing and just a bad... Everyone's praising this kid's acting. It was just like, what acting? What acting? He did nothing.
Yeah. The movie.
Complaining some more.
And, I mean, everybody just forgot about that movie. That movie did not have the impact that they were hoping for. So it was just an overall forgettable film.
Yeah.
I was pretty impressed by McKenna Grace portrayal of Phoebe in Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Oh, yeah, she was a good. Yeah, that was a good. That was a good performance. That was a very, very solid performance on that part.
I really enjoyed her character.
Yeah, that was Hello. That's a good choice. What about best performance by a guy in a remake, reboot, or revival?
Who do you got, Nicole?
So mine is really really out there. But it was when I was going down the list and I looked at the property, I was like, oh, I remembered a character who kind of just stole my heart. And so I had to go with them. So mine is going to Maxwell Simkins, who plays Nick Gans in the Mighty Ducks Game Changers. Because the little podcast boy, yeah, was just so cute.
He stole my heart.
he stole my heart.
I wanted to adopt him so badly. He was like the best.
We had multiple young podcasters in all of these things throughout the year. And he's by far the best made up podcaster. And he's just so cute. I think he is adorable. And he was definitely my most enjoyable pick. What about you, Rolando?
I don't know. I think I'm kind of... So I might be torn between Oscar Isaacs in Scenes from a Marriage or Bradley Cooper in Nightmare Alley. So it's a toss-up between these two. I think Oscar Isaacs gave a much more subdued performance. Bradley Cooper, obviously, he was basically front and center. Like, he had to carry a lot of the weight of that film.
Yeah,
because it was his story, obviously. So I think maybe Bradley Cooper edges that one out just a little bit.
Okay.
Eddie, any opinions?
Not the worst, right? We're still talking
about best actor. Yeah,
best actor. I felt like Enoch, the one-eyed baby in Nightmare Alley, really had a strong portrayal of a very silent character, but a very deep presence.
Great pick. Great.
Yeah. So please. Yeah. Yeah. See Nightmare Alley. See what I'm talking about.
I love that. Also, for worst, I might say the two main roles in Cinderella, because they had no chemistry and they were just.
Oh, my God.
So
that
awkward.
Was like.
Actually,
that was
Cinderella.
Pretty
I forgot.
Terrible.
I'm shocked that didn't end up on my worst pick.
Yeah. Now that I am looking at it, I'm like, wait, Cinderella, that was also horrible.
But it wasn't as offensive, I think, as for me. Yeah. The Many Saints of Newark.
Well, Idina Menzel kind of saved that film and her character of that.
Sure.
That's why it didn't make it. So
I guess. Camila Cabello and the guy, the lead actor, didn't have much chemistry, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the most needed remake, reboot, or revival of 2021. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited because, you know, Rolando said it was a TV show and it wasn't a movie, which is what I thought it would have been.
Oh, what did you think it was going to be?
Well, you know, looking at the list and thinking about what we actually needed, you know, there was one that I didn't think we needed at all. And then when we got it, I was like, oh, fuck, this actually had something to say and did something different with it. And of course, that's West Side Story. I mean,
mine.
And it was, I think it's also just that shock of everyone being like, why would you do this? Why would you touch it? And then when it happened, it was like, oh, I see why now. And yeah, you've kind of convinced me as to at least why it needed at least a second version, you know, that you could have a right. conversation between the two about. And they're both very good films, and they both work in different ways, and they're both very much their own films and their own products of their own time and generation.
Right.
And so that Eddie is...
just said, yeah. So Eddie just said that was his, right?
But I have a runner up on that.
Oh, you have a. All right. So who's your runner up?
Superman.
Oh, Superman and Lois.
And Lois. Okay. Yes. Because they're really, from what I'm seeing, I put that on pause because I had to take a break from superhero shows for a while. Just to,
when?
Because I was focusing on the movies, superhero movies. But but I'm coming back to it. But it's a really fresh look at Superman. I like the idea of a more mature Superman being a dad to the next generation of heroes. So
yeah, it's a cute show. I think it's a cute show. Nice. Nicole, what's your pick for most needed?
I just said West Side Story.
That was your pick also? Oh, okay. Yeah. So you and Eddie both picked most needed. I'm sorry. I thought you were saying that's what you thought mine was going to be.
No, well, that is what I thought yours was going to be. So that's why I'm highly anticipating what yours will be.
So mine is Dexter, New Blood. And the reason I think Dexter New Blood is one of the most needed revivals is because talk about redeeming the source material, right? The source material is something that I thought was just like abused a little bit, and it kind of lost its way by the end. And now that I was like done with the show, and I was angry with it, and I was okay with being angry with it. And then it came back. I was mad. I'm watching it, and I'm just like, fuck. I'm enjoying it, and I hate myself for enjoying it. But I think they're doing it's right now. Spoiler alert, guys. But if you're continuing to watch it, it looks like they're setting up for Dexter's downfall, which is something that I complained about, that he never got in the original run of the series. So my guess is either Dexter will finally pay for his crimes, or his son might break the code in a way that Dexter might be forced to have to reconcile with his past a little. So let's see where it goes. I've been excited for the show. I've been watching it, and this is easily the show that I thought was the most needed, because Dexter needed some saving, and it's delivering.
Well, there we go. Look at that. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised, but
yeah, me too. I mean, yeah. I didn't think I was gonna like enjoy Dexter as much as I am, and here I am back. I'm back in. I'm full swing. You know.
All right, so that leaves the audience pick choice for best remake, reboot, and revival property of 2021. And as always, we do this on Instagram. And if you voted, thank you for voting and sharing your voices. And we do have somewhat of a tie that we got, because by two extra votes each, these two tied. And one's a TV show and one's a movie. So I say that, you know, let's just split it up. Here's the best pick, audience pick for a TV show, and here's the best audience pick for a movie.
All right, let's do it. What was the best pick for a movie?
West Side Story.
Okay.
So I'm even glad our audience agrees. Yes. And just well-deserved. I mean, how much more do we have to talk about West Side Story? Like, it's so freaking good. If you haven't seen it and you're not convinced, just at least give it a try. Keep an open mind. Mm-hmm. And I think you'll be blown away. Surprised. Yeah.
I don't think you don't need an open mind. You can go. I was closed-minded going in, and here I am coming out loving it.
This is true. That's how good it is, because Rolando usually goes into things closed-minded. So
I do. usually do. And who won TV show?
Surprisingly, this one's a bit of a sleeper hit there.
Ooh.
Winner for best television property, remake, reboot, or revival of 2021 is, by two extra votes, The Wonder Years.
Oh, The Wonder Years. That was a cute show. Yeah. Right, I'm glad people are still watching
it. Yeah, Wonder Years. I mean, that's great, though, you know. That I kind of stopped watching it after we had to watch it for the podcast. But, you know, seems that the people who started it kept on watching. And, yeah, and it's got a big show. Now, you want to know what our runner-up was?
Yeah, what was the runner-up?
It was the Friends reunion show.
Oh, you know what? That was almost going to be my most needed until Dexter came out. I needed to know where the friends are. The actors, I guess. Yeah, but the reunions, I mean, you know, it's easy money. I think I always, the way I think, just testing the waters to see how people will respond to a new version. You know?
True.
So, yeah. And I think it tested well enough where I think, I promise you, I think in the next 5 years, we will be getting a new Friends. Even if it's just a movie, like a TV, like
I don't know,
HBO
man.
Max movie.
They've gone on record saying they don't want to do that. And
HBO, Warner Brothers does not care about their opinions. Warner Brothers, like, we own you and we will give you all the money to do this. And they'll be like, okay, yes, sir, you're right, we will.
And well, how can I piss up, like, pass up a couple hundred million dollars? So, yeah.
I know, yeah. How could that you? So, yeah. I mean, you know, that's it. That's my opinion on that. Yeah. Friends reunion, definitely needed.
Well, thank you so much for all of those who participated in the poll. And thank you for listening. We're so happy to give this to you 3 years in a row. You know, I wonder how long we're going to keep doing this for. You know, as long as people want it, we'll keep chugging along. So as always, you know, if you want to reach out to us, email us, remakesrebootsrevivals@gmail.com. We're on Instagram at remakesrebootsrevivals, Twitter at remakespodcast. We're on YouTube and Facebook. Search for Remakes, Reboots, Revivals. You'll find us. If you enjoy this podcast, please give us a 5-star review. If you'd like your voice to be heard, you can always call us at our hotline, which is
862-248-2326. That's 862-248-2326.
And I think that'll just do it for us. And until next time,
stay unoriginal.